What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Negotiations on a massive spending bill are coming down to the wire in Congress.
If they can reach a framework agreement around the social policy package, that will go a long ways toward helping the liberals in the House be willing to vote for the infrastructure bill. That's basically the assurance that they have been wanting to see.
We'll explain what's still standing in the way of a deal. And big tech companies post more record earnings. Plus, why Facebook is investing billions in the metaverse. It's Tuesday, October 26th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. It was a big day for big tech earnings. Alphabet had an historic quarter with its highest revenue growth in 14 years, thanks to the red-hot digital ad market. The company nearly doubled its profit to more than $21 billion. Google is benefiting from a change in Apple's privacy policy that had a negative impact on quarterly earnings from Snap and Facebook. Since April, the iPhone maker has required apps to ask users whether they want to be tracked. As a result, many brands have shifted ad spending to Google. Twitter has avoided much of that turmoil in the digital ad market because its revenue is less tied to targeted digital ads. Twitter reported a 37% jump in revenue in the last quarter. And Microsoft's earnings continue to see a boost from its cloud services business, fueled by the shift to working from home and remote schooling during the pandemic. Quarterly revenue was up 22% from the previous year at $45.3 billion. Meanwhile, in Washington, representatives from social media platforms TikTok, Snapchat, and YouTube defended their child safety records in a Senate Commerce Committee hearing today. Lawmakers are trying to build a case for new laws that would protect kids online. Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar grilled TikTok's head of public policy, Michael Beckerman, about whether the app's algorithms have a negative impact on young users.
Mr. Beckerman, recent investigation by the Wall Street Journal found that TikTok's algorithm can push young users into content glorifying eating disorders, drug, violence. Have you stopped that?
TikTok responded by highlighting that it has made a number of improvements to make sure users are viewing age-appropriate content and pushed back on the findings that it takes users down harmful rabbit holes. Here's Wall Street Journal tech policy reporter Ryan Tracy with more on the hearing.
There were a lot of adversarial questions in this hearing, and this has become a pattern where these tech companies come up and there's not a lot of lawmakers taking to the microphone and defending them, you know, carrying any water really for them at all. We've seen a lot of bipartisan concern about the impact that large technology companies are having on society more broadly, and really especially about kids. And that's what you know, really has gotten people focused in the last few weeks is some of the reporting that the Journal and others have done about Instagram's impact on teen girls. And in the hearing on Tuesday, we saw lawmakers expanding their inquiry and really not just asking about Facebook and Instagram, but talking about TikTok and Snap and YouTube as well.
For more on the committee hearing, you can tune into tomorrow's WSJ Tech News Briefing. A report from the United Nations finds that most countries, including the U.S., are not on track to hit their carbon emission targets. The report comes just ahead of next week's climate summit in Glasgow, Scotland, which will be the first five-year review of the targets set in the 2015 Paris Climate Accord, and the first meeting since the U.S. rejoined the agreement. The UN says the world's emissions reduction plans could still leave the planet 2.7 degrees warmer by the end of the century, far above the target set in the accord. The report also found little substance behind pledges to hit net zero emissions. And an expert panel has recommended authorization of Pfizer and BioNTech's COVID-19 vaccines for children ages 5 to 11. The panel discussed a rare heart inflammation condition called myocarditis that was found in a small number of young men and male teenagers. No cases were found in the children's study, though the company said the study was too small to detect the potential risk. That sets the vaccine up to get the green light from the FDA within days. Last week, the agency said results from the company's late-stage trial met the criteria for an immune response and was found to be safe and more than 90% effective in preventing symptomatic COVID-19. Coming up, are Democrats close to a deal on their massive spending bill? Just a few weeks ago, all eyes were on Congress as lawmakers stared down a deadline to take action on the debt limit. They agreed on a temporary fix to raise it, but only into December. Now, Congress is staring down another deadline. Democrats are trying to reach an agreement on their massive social spending and climate bill by the end of the week. Part of the push is because they're hoping to finalize the deal ahead of President Biden's trip to the G20 meeting in Rome this weekend and the climate summit in Glasgow that starts next week. And as if that weren't enough, Democrats are also hoping a deal on the broader spending bill will give their roughly $1 trillion infrastructure bill, which has been stalled on Capitol Hill, momentum. So, can they do it? And what hurdles remain to uniting the party? Joining me now on the current state of play is Wall Street Journal congressional reporter Christina Peterson. Hi, Christina. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
So, Christina, let's start with this large spending bill, initially carrying a $3.5 trillion price tag. Several issues are still unresolved here, including how to pay for it. Let's start there and talk about the battle over just how they would get the funding for this.
How to pay for the bill has been a perennial thorny issue, and it became even thornier last week when Senator Kyrsten Sinema signaled that she would oppose any marginal tax rate increases on the corporate or personal side. So one of the most contentious ideas now under discussion is this idea of a new annual tax on unrealized capital gains for billionaires. So this would target a relatively small sliver of the richest of Americans, but there are still concerns about the feasibility of it, how it would actually be administered. And some Democrats are just a little wary of jumping into something this complicated late in the game. There was also a new concern raised by Senator Joe Manchin today about a proposal to have banks submit more information to the IRS about customers' bank accounts in an attempt to ferret out tax cheats. This is something that Republicans have widely attacked as being invasive. So those are some of the areas that are still being discussed, and it's not clear yet what will actually end up being in the package.
Another one of those big unknowns centers around healthcare, specifically expanding Medicaid. Why haven't lawmakers been able to reach consensus on this piece?
So there are basically three things that Democrats want to do on the healthcare front, and they have a limited amount of money, and so they are trying to figure out where that money will go. So the first thing they want to do is extend the expanded ACA subsidies that they increased as part of the COVID relief package earlier this year. Then they want to expand Medicare benefits to include dental, hearing, and vision. Senators Manchin and Sinema have raised concerns over that. And then the third bucket is addressing states that did not opt to expand Medicaid. And there are people in those states who do not have any health coverage at all. And so what Democrats would like to do is make them eligible for these expanded ACA subsidies as sort of a compromise.
What does the current plan do to address climate change, which is another big area Democrats have been focusing on, especially ahead of the meetings this week and next week?
This was one of the big things that Senator Manchin pushed out earlier. There was a $150 billion program that was aimed at pushing utilities to draw more power from clean energy sources. And that clean energy program is essentially something that Senator Manchin indicated was a red line for him, and that is now out. So we are hearing a series of tax incentives for clean energy are likely to be included, and there may be some additional programs. There's a lot of angst among the more liberal lawmakers that the proposal may not be as substantive on climate as they had hoped, and they will be leaning on the Biden administration to take action on its own. But of course, those types of things can be reversed in a way that legislation is much harder to change.
Democrats are also hoping a deal on this larger spending package this week might get things moving again on the roughly $1 trillion infrastructure bill. How likely is it that lawmakers can get all of this done this week?
They last month passed a one-month extension of the funding for highway programs, and they could do something similar again if they have not reached a deal on the broader social policy and climate package. I think if they can reach a framework agreement around the social policy package, that will go a long ways toward helping the liberals in the House be willing to vote for the infrastructure bill. That's basically the assurance that they have been wanting to see. Now, that has not been easy to date, But if you can get Senator Manchin and Senator Sinema on board with something that the rest of the Senate, Democrats and progressives in the House agree to, I think having the basic parameters of that in place would likely unlock the votes in the House that you need for the infrastructure bill.
That's Wall Street Journal congressional reporter Christina Peterson. Christina, thanks so much for your time today.
You're welcome.
And finally, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg says he's long dreamt of a world where people work and play virtually. This week, the social media company said it plans to make that dream a reality by investing billions of dollars in the metaverse. Within this augmented and virtual reality, people interact through avatars, kind of like a video game. But instead of just playing, they can go to concerts with friends, try on clothes in stores, and spend real money doing it. Here's our tech reporter, Megan Bobrowski.
There is a big potential for the metaverse to have a huge economy and for this to really develop like e-commerce. And so the video game industry, people already spend $80 billion plus on virtual goods a year. So if you expand that to what a metaverse could look like, this is a potentially very, very, very big economy for these companies to make money off of.
And that's what's news for this Tuesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.
This episode is brought to you by Charles Schwab. Decisions made in Washington can affect your portfolio every day. But what policy changes should investors be watching? Washington Wise is an original podcast for investors from Charles Schwab that unpacks the stories making news in Washington and how they may affect your finances and portfolio. Listen at schwab.com/washingtonwise.